In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, let us give thanks and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day of grace that Thou hast given unto us, and for the blessings of this life which Thou hast given unto us, those material things that we need to go through this life. Father, as we gather here today in Thy house, we are here to hear Thy word. And we ask, Father, today that Thou would give of Thy word unto us, so that all here could partake of Thy word, and that Thy Spirit would be with us. Open the word to those who will speak. Open every one of us, open our ears and our hearts to receive the word. Father, may it be that our thoughts would be turned away from those things of this life while we gather together. Father, give strength to the young mothers and fathers who are here with their children. Father, give them wisdom and understanding on how to raise those precious children that Thou hast given unto them. And Father, may it be that each one here would be given a heart of love and forgiveness toward one another. Give unto us a measure of Thy Spirit so that we could also have that living faith that Thou hast given. And Father, preserve us until the end of time, until that day when Jesus comes to take us from this life. Also, Father, give us patience and long-suffering toward one another. Father, work in our marriages that husbands and wives would each love and honor the other. Father, give unto the children obedient hearts so that they would love and honor their parents. Give unto the parents understanding and wisdom to deal with and raise their children. Father, give unto us a heart of respect toward our rulers of our land and our government and those in authority over us. And Father, also give unto them wisdom and understanding, and guard even our country and our soldiers even today. Father, there are many in our midst who need Thy tender care, Thy healing hand. Father, we ask to be over all. And especially today we remember John Mills and his family. Father, heal John and comfort him and work that work which is necessary unto salvation. Be with his family and his loved ones. And also those, especially today, we remember those elders in our midst, those who have journeyed years on this earth. Father, even today, show unto them again those promises of eternal life. Strengthen their faith that they could yet be with us a little longer, and that they could be our example of faith even on this journey. Also call those who are lost, those who have left the faith, those who have given up their childhood faith. Father, may those teachings that they heard as youngsters, that it would come back, and that seed that is planted would yet grow forth and give fruit. Father, be with us, each and every one of us today. We thank Thee for sending Jesus to be our Savior. We desire to see Thee, Father. And if it is Thy will that this world would come to an end soon, we ask that there would yet be many that would yet come into Thy kingdom before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The next song is 450.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. For our text this morning, we'll read from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, the first 17 verses. John 13, reading in Jesus' name. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my head, my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. The songwriter writes, When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another that had crossed your way? Do you know what this is? Have you come to know how it is written in God's Word? Even if we turn to the teachings of Jesus, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, where he teaches his disciples how to pray, he says, If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, your your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, we as carnal men often look at others that we have problems with, that we are at odds with, and we say this way within our hearts, well, when you come and ask forgiveness, then I'll forgive you. But is this the heart that songwriter was speaking of? Or is it, as Jesus says, that we should forgive others before they have any need of repentance within themselves? For sometimes there are times when someone doesn't even know that they have wronged you. But yet we should, according to the word, we should forgive one another even before they have any need of forgiveness. God leaves this matter with us in our own hearts. So we stand before God. How is it? How is it within our own hearts? Have we forgiven those that we are at odds with? Or do we have to stand in the light of that other scripture that we read, that neither will God forgive you? This is an important matter, one that stands before us here in a time of grace. Songwriter says, did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another that had crossed your way? This isn't something that we conjure up within our own hearts to make us forgiving. But a forgiving heart is from God. It is a fruit of the Spirit that we can forgive those that have done wrong to us. Jesus speaks of this matter in his text that we read. He said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So this took place before that time of the Last Supper, when Jesus came to the Passover there before he went to Gethsemane and Golgotha. And he gathered there with his disciples. It says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So Judas had made that final decision within his heart that he was going to betray Jesus. He was going to lead the soldiers to him. We know Jesus looked like most any man in that time. His outward appearance wasn't like we sometimes see in pictures where Jesus has a visible halo over his head, and we can easily pick him out of the crowd. But I don't believe that was a case in that time that Jesus stood out in that way. So it was that when the soldiers came for Jesus, he had to be pointed out. And Judas said that he would point out the one by giving him a kiss. But so it was after they were finished with the Passover. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. So Jesus is here speaking of his holiness, how he was with God, that he was from heaven. He was all glorious. He was with the Father from all eternity. And Scripture brings forth this, first of all, showing that how high and holy Jesus was. Maybe he looked like a regular man there, but he was God himself. He was God himself. And that he was come from God and went to God. Now he riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. So we can just picture this, how him and the 12, or whether Judas had left or not, but his disciples there are with him there at the table. And they are finished with the Passover, and Jesus then, he gets up. He gets up from the table and he takes his garment off, lays it aside, and he takes a towel and he girdeth himself. And I believe this is how a servant would be. If a servant was there to come and wait on them, that he would probably be dressed like this. It says, after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he comes to the first disciple there and he stoops before him with this basin of water and he begins to wash his feet. And this is as we can imagine, we don't even do this in our day, but because of the shoes that they wore, whether they were sandals or what it was, but they walked, they didn't drive in cars like we do, they didn't have paved roads like we do, but they traveled on dirt. They walked on dirt roads and their feet often got dirty. And when they came into a house that a servant would normally come and wash the feet of the visitors. So it was an act of a servant to do this. But here Jesus himself came and he began to wash the feet of the disciples and he began to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And it doesn't say here how many disciples he did this to before he came to Peter. But when he did come to Peter, and knowing Peter, how bold he was and how proud a man he was, he saith unto Jesus, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Like he's saying, are you actually going to do this? You are going to wash my feet? That's the job of a servant. And I'm not, I have that much respect for you, I'm not going to allow you to do this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He just told them simply that you don't understand what I'm doing. You don't understand why I am doing this and for what reason, but you shall know hereafter. That shortly you'll know why I am doing this. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. I'm just not going to let you, because you're my Lord and you're my Master. I'm not going to let your... Peter being so proud that he didn't want to just let happen what was happening as the other disciples, but he said unto him that I'm just not going to let it happen. That you're my Master and I should be the servant. I'm not going to let you stoop to this low position to wash my feet. And Jesus tells him that if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And I'm sure this stunned Peter. For he said that he would go with him unto death. This was the heart of Peter, that he wanted to stand by Jesus. And now when Jesus tells him that you will have no part of me, no part with me. And then Peter goes to the opposite extreme. He says, well, if that's what is required to be a part with you, that you would wash my feet, then don't just stop there. Wash my hands, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And I'm sure this puzzled Peter and the rest of the disciples. What is he speaking of here? What is this washing that... And I'm sure they looked at it in the natural sense. That he was just coming here and doing that which a servant was supposed to be doing. It says, For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? So he then took his garments, placed his robe back upon himself, and he sat back down where he was in the beginning, and then he began to speak unto them and asked them that, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Christ acknowledged. He acknowledged that he is their Master. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And this is what we were speaking of in the beginning, as the songwriter had written. He is speaking there of washing one another's feet, of being a servant unto one another. Scripture says, let each esteem the other greater than himself. So can we do this? This is what the Word instructs us to do, that we would look upon one another as greater than ourselves. And that we would hold with a heart of forgiveness one another, as this washing is a picture of, this example. And it's so contrary to our carnal flesh And it was so contrary to the disciples, I'm sure. For when was it? When they came and they asked if one could sit on the right and one could sit on the left. Were they looking to be each other's servant? I don't believe so. They're yet puffed up within themselves, wanting to be somebody. Wanting to be somebody in God's kingdom. Wanting to be high in God's kingdom. And so it is that Jesus has to come and he has to show them the example of a servant. That if I, who am your Lord and your Master, come and do this to you, that you should do this to one another. Verily, verily, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So Jesus speaks of how he is greater than his disciples, that the servants are not greater than him, but he acknowledges himself that he is not greater than he that sent him. And Jesus always did this when he was here on earth, that he gave glory, all glory and honor unto his Father. So this text here speaks of washing. And this is looked upon as forgiveness. That we would forgive. When we go back to the 10th verse, it seems to speak a little differently in this verse here. For the greater part of this text, I believe, speaks of, as we spoke in the beginning, how we should forgive others, as Jesus pictured in this washing of the feet. But here in the 10th verse, it says to speak a little differently. It says, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So it speaks of two different types of cleansing. He that is washed, this is speaking of that cleansing wherein man enters into the kingdom of God through the straight gate. There where he beholds his lost and condemned condition, his lost state, and acknowledges before God that he is deserving of hellfire. But God, in his grace, reveals the Savior unto him, reveals Jesus, reveals unto him Calvary Center Cross, how that Jesus there hung between heaven and earth, how that our sins were there upon him when he hung there. And when we as a lost soul can partake of these, that we can see that our sins truly are forgiven, that we can behold with the eyes of faith our salvation, you know, there In confession and absolution, that which we speak with our mouth our lack. We speak of our sins. We speak of our condition as we stand before God, and we ask that God would be merciful unto us and that He would forgive us our sins. And God had granted us a blessing in the means of grace, how we can believe through the audible declaration that our sin is forgiven. But we know that it is not in this cleansing is done. This cleansing is done through a means of grace which is God has ordained through the children of God here on earth. But that the grace itself was Calvary. Christ and Calvary. I know I spoke of it once, at least once before here. But it was a picture that it kind of came clear to me. In my trade, I'm a sign maker. In my early years before computers came along, I painted with a brush. And twice in my early years in the business, there were two men that came. Two men that came to me, and we discussed or talked about my livelihood, and these two men were at different times. But the first one, he came and he asked, he said, it would be nice to have a picture painted. And he wasn't asking, he didn't want me to do a job for him, but he had just kind of casually talked about it. So it would be nice to have a picture painted of, and he said, this is how I envision it, that there would be a grandmother sitting and a young girl kneeling before her. And this young girl would be weeping. And the grandmother would have her hand upon her. And then the caption on the photo, on the painting, would say, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. He had said that he thought that would be a nice painting. And then it was a couple years later when another man, and both of these men were speakers, preachers of God's word. And when the second one came, and I marveled in that someone would come from a different part of the country and he would speak of the same type of thing. He said, I've often thought it would be nice to have a painting done. But his was of an older gentleman. These are of an older grandfather-like figures that would be sitting there and a young lad at his knees weeping. And I was thinking, wow, this man's going to say the same thing, you know. Two totally different, I'm sure they didn't know each other that they had said these things. But he said, what I want is for the old man to have his hand upon the shoulder of the young lad, but that he would be pointing toward the sky, and he would then paint up in the corner of the sky a picture of Calvary, a picture of the cross, that there Jesus is hanging upon the cross, and then have in the caption below say, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and holy shed blood. So the caption was the same. But the heart was, in one was directed toward the cross. And this is where forgiveness truly is. And I don't say that the first man's was wrong. The picture that he spoke of pictures the means of grace, of how God, through his kingdom, is able to preach onto this young girl that her sin is forgiven. But it is necessary. That woman could not speak forgiveness onto that young girl if it hadn't been that this which the other gentleman pictured in the sky had come to pass. That Jesus had to have suffered and died. And there it is where the grace is. That is where grace is on Calvary, when God gave his Son. And then it is then through the means of grace, you and I, the children of God here, that we can speak the words of forgiveness to one another. But anyhow, this is speaking of the first washing. That washing where one enters into the kingdom of God. And he has a robe of righteousness. It is perfect. It is pure. It is holy. It is not spotted with the sin of this world. This garment does not get dirty because it is Jesus. But then it speaks of another washing here. He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet. And I believe that there is the sins of the journey. They are the sins that a Christian experiences as he goes through this life. The things that come upon him, the temptations that rise up before him, and he yields onto them, and there is much of this, I'm sure we can acknowledge within our life. There is much of this sin that comes within. But this does not take away from the cleansing, that first clean. In the 15th chapter, John writes that ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the stuff and the sin that comes upon our journey, those things that come up way upon our conscience, does not take away from the righteousness. But these sins that come along the journey, they are a hindrance unto us. They make it hard to believe. Make it hard to believe that we are the children of God. And this is just between us. But in the sight of God, when God looks upon us, we are pure and we are holy. We have that spotless garment upon us. But because in our sight we see the sins which come upon our conscience, we are exhorted here to wash our feet. That we could walk before God freely, and that we could freely believe that we are the children of God. So as children of God, then, and when we walk here through this life, we are going to experience sin, and that's a given, because we have corruption with us. And this corruption always causes us, and the devil is always going about as a roaring lion. But it is not such that when sin comes, then the righteousness of Christ is tarnished. When sin comes along our way, now that we are not fully acceptable in the sight of God. But as children of God, and I speak this as children of God, this is not something that we can just take on to ourselves and decide to try to walk freely in sin. But as when we have entered in at the straight gate, and we have been that garment of God's grace, his righteousness, has been placed upon us. We are pure and we are acceptable in the sight of God. Perfect in his sight. But now when the journey, as we go through this journey, there will be sin. There will be temptations. And we are exhorted by God's word to take care of them. Don't let them build up, because they'll build up and they will build a mountain between you and God. And doubts are the fruit of unbelief, and they will, as scripture says, sin separates us from God, and it will. So we are exhorted by God's word to put things away, walk before God with a clean conscience. When sins come and weigh upon our conscience, deal with it right away. Don't put it off, because when you harden your heart and you try to walk, and it just gets harder and harder, and sin is added to sin and unbelief. Unbelief builds more and more, so God's word exhorts us to walk freely before God. And the way we walk freely before God is that we would be free before him as children before their fathers, children before their parents. We know that when we walk as children in the house of our parents, that when sin comes upon the conscience, we kind of skirt around mom and dad. We don't want to have to confront them. We don't want them to question us about what we've been doing. And this is how sin comes. But when the conscience is burdened, when the heart is troubled, go to mom and dad, go to a brother and sister, speak of our hearts, and be comforted in the gospel message that we know, that our sins truly are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And it was on Calvary that this happened. On Calvary's cross, that blood which was shed, that blood which flows yet today, washing sin away. May we walk on this road that leads toward heaven. We're all on a road that leads toward heaven. And when sin comes, let's deal with it according to God's word. And know that righteousness that we have, that perfect garment that God has granted us, has not been spotted, because that is Jesus. That is pure. That is holy. And that is acceptable in his sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The next song is number 546.